Those are priceless antiques.
And those bozos are using them for target practice. What's going on, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Indiana Jones Universe, a podcast in which we learn more about the character of Indiana Jones, exploring other content in the Indiana Jones Universe. As always, I'm Will.
And I'm Max.
And thanks for joining us for episode 41, in which today we're continuing our discussion of the video game Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings with Level 4, Istanbul. Now realizing that Professor Kingston was after the Staff of Kings, Indy and Maggie O'Malley travel from Panama to Istanbul, and Indy goes to this old museum and finds these mosaics that he believes will lead him to some answers as to where the real resting place of the Staff of Kings is. And along the way, Indy does some more puzzle-solving exploration and gets in some classic fistfights as well, as Magnus Voller and the Germans have already arrived and, of course, cause Indy some trouble. We also have a little bit of a subplot here as we learn more about the character of Maggie O'Malley, who was introduced in the last level. So without further ado, let's get started, shall we?
Yes, we shall. Now, you know, this level starts off really beautiful with this great cutscene where Indy and Maggie O'Malley are kind of, you know, in this, pulling up to this kind of museum, very eerie, kind of mysterious feel here. And something I really want to mention again, as I mentioned in every episode about SOK, is that the concept art here is just so beautiful and very realistic in this case. Like, light shining through windows, but you'll see the light beams. Here you will just see the light in the windows, which is more realistic than those actual light beams, which I think is just really, really cool that that attention to detail is there.
Wow, that's really interesting. I didn't even pick up on that. That's super cool. Yeah, I do like the concept art for this game, and especially setting the mood here. I mean, I think one thing that's interesting about this game, in terms of kind of similar to Young Indy, actually, is the locations really make each level so different on its own. I mean, coming right off from Panama now to Istanbul, you'll see a lot of differences. But speaking of the last level, the one big similarity I think that we took away from this was this still this emphasis on puzzle solving and exploration, which is something we talked about in the last level, how kind of subconsciously you don't really realize how much Indy does that or doesn't do it in some cases in the movies, but here you're actually doing it when you play the game. And so for me, I personally kind of like it, how you had a lot of like sort of exploration and puzzle solving and stuff in this one, whereas other people might find it actually kind of odd, as you know, we don't necessarily remember that as much from the films.
Yes, definitely. I completely agree. I mean, in the films, yeah, sure, it's cool to see Indy, you know, going around, whipping the crap out of people, beating the crap out of these bad guys, you know, rescuing, running out of a falling Temple of Doom. But, you know, here you actually get to do all the Indy action and stuff, which is really, really cool and really gives you a different Indy kind of experience.
It definitely does. I completely agree in that sense. And I also love how we start out with these cutscenes for every level. Here, Indy and Maggie are kind of heading to this museum, like you mentioned, and Indy meets his friend Biasin, who is going to show him this museum. Supposedly, Kingston spent hours in this room looking for some secret passageways, and it had to do with these murals. And so Indy kind of looks around, and we have the music from Temple of Doom, the Scroll to Pankot Palace, and the unreleased track Footsteps of Shiva as well. And one thing I found interesting in regards to the music is a lot of Temple of Doom music is actually used in this level, and I actually found a lot of similarities in sort of the art style and just kind of the feel of this museum to kind of be like the Pankot Palace.
Yes, definitely. I kind of agree there. You are absolutely right. The Pankot Palace is, you know, as we see in the movie, is very, very, you know, kind of fancy and has, like, just, you know, those kind of, like, decorative arts on, like, you know, the columns and, you know, the walls and stuff. And that's very similar and the same here in this museum, as you'll see, as you see in the first scene here in the cutscene where Indy is, you know, looking at the mural and this big grand floor.
Right, and one thing as well that I thought was kind of cool about this is right when he kind of gets in the museum. I love how we see, you know, Kingston had spent hours looking for some secret murals and stuff. And what I find hilarious is Indy pushes in the mural, and one of the statues immediately just comes up. He gets it in 2 seconds.
Yes, it's just a classic indie move, like, oh, someone else can find it? Well, I'm just gonna lean casually here. Oh, look what happened.
Right, exactly, precisely. I thought that was hilarious. And I like the opening of this too. We also see that Maggie O'Malley doesn't actually kind of travel with Indy in the museum and kind of goes off to the side and ends up meeting Magnus Voller, who, of course, they don't know each other at this point in time. So that's kind of the mini subplot that gets brought back a little bit later. And so, you know, it kind of felt like, you know, they purposely were doing that, so they kept the game as sort of a solo game. I thought maybe it would have been cool if they added, I guess, a little bit of a co-op in here, you know, maybe to you could play along with someone else's Maggie. But, you know, I guess that would have obviously had very mixed opinions since Indy is more of a solo adventure kind of thing. But, you know, you can tell that they were kind of putting off the subplot with sort of Maggie and just letting her kind of be off to the side of the story, which it kind of felt forced in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, you are definitely right that Indy is a solo kind of guy. I mean, there is a reason his name is on all the movies, but
Right.
you know, I mean, he always has someone with him. Like in, you know, Raiders, it's Marion. You know, it's Willy in Last Crusade, or sorry, it's Elsa in Last Crusade, and it's Willy in Temple of Doom. You know, he always has someone with him, whether they're good or bad, and you know that, as we'll see, that kind of becomes apparent later in the level, where we kind of pan back off to Maggie's side story. And yeah, that's very it's very very interesting how they kind of diverted that, because she was a very prominent role and for prominent character in the previous level, Panama, but now she's just kind of like there.
Right, exactly. I thought that was interesting too, and especially how Indy trusts her like in 2 seconds, right? I mean, you know, obviously he doesn't suspect anything, which is kind of funny. And yeah, so then we actually get to kind of the first part of the actual level after the cutscene here. So we see that one of the statues rises up, and we see that there are three other places. And so, kind of from the get-go, you know that basically the entire point of the level is going to be to find the secret passageways and somehow get the statues to raise in the room. And so, immediately right off the bat, you have some amazing detail in these sort of searching through these secret rooms and these deep hallways with this ambient music in the background. Just a really kind of cool mood this set here. And there's that artifact right down the hall, right as you go down all the way to the end. And then you turn that corner, and you actually see that the Germans have already arrived. And you have this mini fist fight with these two guys. And one thing I kind of observed here is, in this fist fight, immediately I was ready to get into like this huge fight with these, you know, with these Germans here. But there's no action music. It stays with the same ambient music, which I found kind of interesting because it adds to the whole mystery of it. Like, no one knows Indy is here. I just found that kind of cool, and I definitely noticed it while playing the game, because I was ready for, you know, Desert Chase to start blasting in the background or whatever, you know? And that was kind of interesting. So I liked that.
Yeah, that is very interesting. You know, I was very surprised too. I'm like, oh, there's no music. Like, so obviously this is not like a very big fist fight, and it's really has no meaning, because you know Magnus Voller is not there. It's just these two German guys, and then you know nobody is coming in behind him, you know, trying to stand up for those guys. It's just, oh, these two German guys, okay, bye, they're gone
Right,
kind of
exactly.
thing.
That transitions into the actual like main sort of fight here, as you get introduced to this huge room, and you basically have this huge fist fight with a bunch of guys. And so this is kind of expanded upon from some of the ones we've had in Panama and some of the other levels as well. I'd say they're pretty difficult. They're not like super hard or anything. What I did find funny about this one is you could see all the guys coming through the door. And what's funny is there's about 7 or 8 guys in the room, and they all don't ambush Indy at the same time. So it's like 1 versus 8, and I mean, of course, that's supposed to be like that for the game, but it's funny how just realistically that works. And so yeah, and of course, there's one thing I did notice too, kind of adding to what you were saying about sort of this mood that we were setting here, is I like how all of the guys Indy is fighting, they all have like nice suits on to kind of, you know, this is a fancy event, and I think in the journal. In the main menu for Staff of Kings, where you can kind of see the plot and the characters that were involved, I think it mentions that actually there was like an auction or an exhibition going on, and Indy was sort of kind of behind the scenes looking through the museum. So this was like a fancy event going on, which is also why we see Maggie in a dress as well. So I think this was Indy was supposed to be kind of sneaking around the museum while there was sort of this distraction elsewhere.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, there is that distraction there because, as we see, she is distracting Magnus Vollér, which who, at the at this time we don't know it's Magnus, but this other German guy, and they're kind of romancing it up, as we shall say.
Right, and so one of the things that I found interesting about this too is right after you actually sort of defeat all the guys, you kind of get left in this empty room, and then you have to figure out kind of where to go next. And you'll notice that there's this statue kind of sitting next to the wall, and there's actually this sort of like helmet from another one of the statues that if you put on top of it, the wall actually turns, which I thought was super cool, kind of a throwback to Last Crusade.
Yes, it is, and I loved that. I'm like, oh, that they probably took that from Last Crusade, honestly, because there is that thing where, I can't remember the exact scene, but I believe Indy and his father are there, and they just step on this kind of fireplace, and it just starts turning, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, it was really cool. I think that was from the Castle Brunwald scene, right when they're kind of trapped in there, right before the sort of motorcycle chase in that movie, which is awesome. I like that they kind of added that throwback, kind of going back with. There's another thing that I noticed from Temple of Doom later that I'll bring up. So that was really cool. And so I like that we have this kind of cool mechanism, right? We see like the wall go, and then we transition into kind of this first sort of tunnel and cave, I guess you could say, which also is really well drawn here. You have this interesting kind of lighting and shading with this like blue color. We see this bridge and there's some water under it. And we actually have some music that was kind of a quick throwback to what we just looked at a few weeks ago. From Adventures in the Secret Service, we have I Hope It Is Over Quickly playing in this scene here as you solve this kind of interesting puzzle.
Yes, it is very interesting, and Indy has to pick up these boulders and set them kind of on this pressure plate to get the bridge to come up so he can cross over the water. And also something I wanted to mention, how is Indy able to pick up like a 3,000-pound boulder?
All right.
Like they obviously if Indy can pick them up, they probably don't weigh much more than him, yet when he steps on the pressure plate, nothing happens.
Right. I
So.
found that was kind of that's a funny point you bring up actually, because the boulders they don't look that large, but what's funny is you place like one of them on the pressure plate and all of a sudden the whole bridge comes up. And so, you think that the boulder weighs a lot and then you could just carry it. Yeah, that's funny. And I like also how these puzzles are kind of expanded upon throughout the whole game, really. Because remember, we did have kind of to use the boulders on those other sort of levels in Panama. So I like how they expanded upon that throughout the game. These small little subtleties and reoccurring elements is just a lot of fun when you do the puzzles.
Yeah, definitely. It is very, very, awesome and cool. Just all the puzzles, they get harder as it goes on. So this is like one of the easiest puzzles, right? Was just putting the helmet on that statue, and as you'll see, like the very last one to get that last statue up, you have to go through all sorts of tunnels and stuff like that. Where so it just gets harder as it goes on. And going back to the boulders for a second, that's what's really weird about the game mechanics. Like some stuff is really realistic, while others is just like it doesn't make sense whatsoever.
Right, so that's kind of the thing about the game is just the puzzles are so interesting because like this one was super easy, and then you get to some of the other ones that are a little bit more difficult. Overall, I would say the difficulty is actually pretty low in terms of like what I would probably expect from sort of an action adventure game like this, but they're still fun. I mean, you'll see that. I mean, as you see, right when you cross the bridge, you see the first mosaic, and that's it. The door opens, and you're back in the museum. But I did like the kind of like almost underground suspense of this. As we see, you can go right from the museum down into these like old sort of underground caves. It's awesome. And I like how as well, as you go throughout, we kind of see sort of like that they're all kind of similar. And I like that. It kind of adds to it, that there's kind of all sort of connected sort of inner passageways as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're all very, very similar, and all the caves look similar, but they're completely different types of puzzles. So it's very, very interesting how they incorporated that into the game to make you kind of feel like you're doing the same puzzle, but to get a different statue or thing raised in the room. And moving on from here, so he's back up in the room, and we have a shootout with the Germans because the Germans are already here, and we actually hear a piece of music from Masks of Evil, which we will review in the upcoming months. And this is kind of our really first big boss fight, or well, it's our first shootout after the big boss fight that we heard that was in the very beginning of this level.
Yeah, so I really like that as well. We had kind of a new element here. We got introduced to sort of this like sort of added mechanic in the game in terms of this like shootout that you can do. Indy has this revolver, which we see in the movies, of course, but we don't see him use it that much. And so I kind of like it actually. I think it adds a new perspective and a fun thing for the game. Obviously, it's not like super. You're not relying on the gun at any point. It's mostly sort of the fist fights and the whip. But every now and then, especially here, I mean, like once per level, you usually get like a small shootout with Indy and his revolver. And yeah, like you said, that music from Masks of Evil was awesome, just coming from, all the young Indy stuff.
Yeah, and I just have to mention that it's really very interesting, and the game mechanics here are very realistic. Like, you only have a certain number of bullets, where before you have to reload, and I think, it's very, very cool. Like, also, Indy is like outnumbered here completely. Like, they have superior guns, and Indy just has this pistol, and yet he still is really, really good at it because, I mean, again, you can duck and cover just like the other guys can, but if you shoot them at the right time, you're gonna win. I mean, the bad guy never wins, as they always say. And actually, as the shootout is happening, you hear the quote. You hear Indy say the quote that we used for today, in the beginning of the episode today, which I is just so hilarious. I was laughing when I heard him say that.
Right, it's a great one. And one thing that I did want to mention about this as well is I really like that this adds a nice new element to the game, I think. It's not something that I would like immediately think of when I think about Indiana Jones and the characteristics that we see in the movies and all these expanded universe adventures, but I'm a fan of it actually. I really think it adds a nice thing to this level. Like when I look at this level as a whole, I think it was a big part of it. And so I thought that was a great kind of new addition that I liked. And especially when you go out kind of side on that balcony deck, that's when it really reminded me of the Pancot Palace from Temple of Doom. That sort of concept art there and that sort of scenery was really cool. And you kind of have this sort of like mini sort of revolver fight, and then you whip across the bridge there, and then there's the big one at the end there where Indy kind of runs across to the side, and you see all those guys run to the pillars, and you kind of have to get them before they actually take cover. That's the easiest way. And yeah, that's how that works. And then, of course, when you finish it, what I love is you have that indie motif as you sort of quote unquote win the shootout, I guess you could say, which is really fun. I think we talked about this in the last level too, as well. That sort of music of the Raiders theme, just a few notes of it right after you win.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. I love how they didn't use the entire thing, so it's not like a big, victory finale with the Raiders march there, but it's like a few notes to kind of hint, hey, you're getting somewhere, you're getting close maybe to the end, or you're getting close, you're about to complete, whatever puzzle Indy is doing at that time.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I also like the atmosphere of this too, especially you go like from the caves, then into the museum, and kind of back and forth from that, because now there's an artifact actually you can pick up right across from there. But then once you actually go in, we see another one of those walls and the statues, and if you stand on it, it turns around again, and we go into the next cave here.
Yes, which is really, really cool because, again, as we've said before, these caves are all really, really very interesting. And, what I love is that these caves look so realistic. Like, there's the cobwebs, there's the eerie kind of, drops of water, and there's the eerie light from the end. It's just super duper cool, and the concept art for this is really great.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to mention as I was walking through this, especially when you go down and you see that lion head and the ladder that drops down, that reminded me a lot of the movie Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. I'm not actually a huge Harry Potter fan, ironically enough, but for some reason I just got like a vivid image of that in the Chamber of Secrets. It looks a lot like that, especially since like the kind of the shading on the actual rock bed, as we see, is like this tinted green, and then there's that lion face there as well, which I thought was really cool. I don't know, maybe that was just me, but I thought maybe that may have been a little bit of hint at that in there.
Yes, definitely. I didn't think about that until now. That's very interesting. But yeah, that's very interesting. It probably is an ode to Harry Potter. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool to think about it, at least just looking at it from here. And yeah, this is kind of where we see the this is like the second of the three sort of like puzzles that you do underground. And as you kind of climb off that ledge, one thing I wanted to mention about this is it's actually kind of funny. You can see where the ledge like will break off. So if you zoom in at the right sort of point, you'll notice as you like crawl across that top ledge there. Usually like some of the rock falls and you fall and you have to grab on. You can actually tell like that section that's falled off, that the game developers shaded it like a little bit of a lighter color, which I was like, what? That's like no fun. Because you can actually tell. So if you time it right, you can just jump over the rock so it doesn't actually break, which I guess is just a little bit of a weird thing that was kind of in there.
Yeah, that is I noticed that as well. You know, it is shaded definitely a different color, but you know, right after that happens, we actually come to this kind of wall of skulls, which is really, really cool. I wonder if it's maybe a reference to Crystal Skull, because this did come out right after the Crystal Skull movie did. But you know, this you Indy has to use these skulls to jam these gears so he can get past these you know, spinning blades and these walls that are gonna crush him.
Right, and this is the first sort of little element, I guess, of these coffins that are down there. And we never really get fully explained as to like what this is a reference to, but like you said, there's all these skulls and coffins down there, and basically you have to jump up onto the one side and then knock down one of the statues and use that as kind of a leverage to get up to the next side. And then you grab one of the skulls and then throw it in to jam the gears to stop those huge stone pillars, which was I love that they added like those kind of like traps, kind of reminding you of like the traps in the temple from Raiders. I love just those little subtle things like that reminds you of Indy, you know, those huge stone sort of walls that just kind of crush you if you don't run past them at the right time. And yeah, so after you go through both of these, there's actually a little hidden room off to the side where you can get an artifact there. Which is kind of cool. And we also have, you have to basically kind of climb up in these statues, as we were saying, and you whip across to the other side, which was cool. And I like also the artifacts that you can see, but can't like obtain, if you know what I mean. There's that one at the way end of the corner, but there's that drop off where all the water is down below. So you can actually physically see where it is, but you can't actually attain it. And so you have to figure out how to get there. I like those ones, those are fun.
Those are really cool because they really make you think like Indy, you know, like how am I gonna do this? Am I gonna whip across? Am I gonna, you know, make some type of thing? Or am I going to, you know, just am I gonna, you know, am I gonna make a shift a bridge or a raft or something? It's really, really interesting.
Right, and once you get across there, there's that large kind of bridge tunnel area, and then you have to run from these huge blades that come like circling and spiraling towards you. And once you get there, you get to the last sort of mosaic room there. There's an artifact in there as well, and that opens up another doorway as you have to whip up to climb. I like also that aspect of the whip as well, how you can whip up to the top of something and climb up, like we see in Raiders when Indy rides the statue. I like that that is in there. That is a very cool characteristic of the whip that I love.
I mean, especially the sound that they use here is really, really awesome. And speaking of very realistic stuff, the indie voice in SOK here, especially in this level, really, really awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I know we've talked about this before, especially in that first level there where you hear him from the beginning. John Armstrong, man, I mean, he has a very, very close sort of voice to Harrison Ford, especially a big improvement off of the other games, Infernal Machine and Emperor's Tomb, which couldn't get it as close. I mean, this is like, you. I mean, some people, I imagine, I definitely thought it was Harrison Ford. I had to look it up. I was like, that's pretty close. So it's definitely awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I thought it was Harrison Ford the first time I heard it. I'm like, wait a second, did they hire Harrison Ford for this? Apparently, obviously, no, it's John Armstrong, but John Armstrong does an on point, you know, imitation of Harrison Ford, aka Indy. So that's just really, really cool and really adds to the authenticity of the game.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is the only thing he actually did voice acting for in terms of Harrison Ford. I don't believe he did any other games. Maybe he did a few Star Wars ones here and there in that same time period, but certainly this was his only indie game, which is a little bit of a shame, but you know, still great that we have this one performance here.
And after that door closes, Indy sees the third mural. Now, something I wanted to mention is that they didn't do the classic Indy thing when a door closes, where Indy has to, at the last second, grab his hat, which I would have loved that they would have done that, because that really adds to the Indy authenticity. What do you think?
Yeah, that would have been cool. We did see that in a few other places in the game, especially when those like huge trap doors come flying down. We see that, he has to grab his head under it, which is from Raiders, of course. Yeah, I wish they did that in multiple places, but it is what it is, I think. That would have been cool. I definitely was thinking about that as you saw the cutscene, that door closing. So now we're back in the museum here, as we have this kind of interesting room here. And I love also these like inner thoughts that we have from Indy as he kind of explains a little bit more about like the Staff of Kings and what he's actually doing. That's cool. And so during this puzzle, you basically have to walk through this interesting like bottom sort of kind of floor here that's filled with water as you raise these sort of three stone heads and arrange them in order on the wall that will turn you into the third puzzle. Kind of interesting.
Yes, that is very interesting. And I love the attention to detail with those heads because, you have to put them in a certain order, which is really, really cool. Kind of like a first, second, and third place, which is almost really cool. And, that's just another one of the game mechanics that I really love, where you can't just put them in any old order. You have to put them in a certain order in order for the wall to rotate to get you into the last puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this last puzzle is actually the hardest one, as it's harder to get into the wall here. And it starts off here with kind of the same sort of feel that we're getting from the other ones, the same sort of kind of underground tunnels. And what's really cool about this one, though, is that I like how when you kind of originally walk into this, you have all these walls and vines, and we see these like old antiques kind of sitting down here. And there's a great track from Young Indy Trenches of Hell that plays here, one of my favorites, during this whole sort of scene when you jump down on the ledges here and get to this bottom opening area, as you see this huge sort of entrance with these two stone pillars, and you see these blades as you cross the bridge, and you have to kind of jump through the main one at a certain point in time, as one of each sides of the blade has kind of been chopped off, I guess you could say, or doesn't have one. And so this is kind of a reoccurring sort of element throughout this entire part of the level.
Yes, and I love to mention that there is actually these blades here that goes around the corner, which I think is really, really cool. Because we don't really see that. That looks so surreal and like unrealistic, but I guess it could happen. And I thought that it's just really, really cool that Indy has to, go around a corner while evading some booby trap.
Right, exactly. And so you have all these sorts of like interesting blades, and there's like two sides to this huge room and like temple that we see. And what I love about this is it's just like a huge maze, especially once you complete it. It took me a while to find my way back. I was like, where am I? So it all looks like identical. And so, because the concept art and the style of it is the same, there's these a few blades on each side, and you walk around, you have to try to jam the blades by like throwing stone down there or something so you could get across. And so you have this very interesting puzzle here, which was kind of an interesting mechanic, I guess. I'm kind of interesting there as well, as there's this huge maze of puzzles, and an interesting idea as well is so, but I like the feel of this. It's kind of hard to like definitely like I like how similar it is, right? But also, it's a lot harder than, some of the other ones. And so this was definitely really cool, especially once you get it the first time. There's artifacts galore hidden throughout both sides of these places as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are so many artifacts in all these levels. It's really, really cool. And they unlock certain things for you on the main menu, like the trailers or something like that, which I think is really cool that you can get stuff in game and unlock cool features on the menu that sometimes they are related to the games, other times they're not related to anything in the game. Like, for example, just watching the movie or the concept art or something like that. Another thing I wanted to mention here is that we have a reference to Last Crusade when Indy pushes a casket into this hole, kind of to almost solve one of the puzzles, and I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that was super cool as well, especially as we transition here to when Indy has to like break through this wall, goes through this tiny narrow like hallway that still has blades in there and leads into this amazing room, by the way, which is super cool. Has these glass floors, it's circular, and there's all these like bars behind each sort of like individual box. And there's these swords that tell you the direction in which they turn because some of them aren't blocked and some of them are. And so if you push this button, it rotates the entire thing. And there's one artifact hidden in there. And then, of course, the coffin that you push in that, yeah, is definitely like Last Crusade when Elsa or, you know, down in the catacombs and they find the Grail tablet. So that was a super cool room. I loved solving that thing.
Yeah, I really love that. I mean, again, the concept art for this is so great, but even this like sophisticated, it's not like a game mechanic where you have to do something, but just like how they use the animation and, you know, how it moves around and the sounds is just so cool. Like, I would love to be in that room and take some pictures or something. That would be awesome.
Right. I mean, it was so surreal, especially considering like no one's ever been here, right? You can clearly, you know, it's obvious that Indy's the only one who, you know, has the strength and the smarts to do this, right? And he's exploring this entire underground civilization, the museum, and it's got all this cool stuff in there. And also very original, by the way. Like, this is not a level that's trying to copy off of anything that's already been done in India. I mean, this is, I think this is actually the latest piece of, large piece of indie content that we've seen. This is 2009. We really haven't seen any huge developments in the indie universe, whether it be video games, TV shows, movies, comics, whatever. This is the last thing. And so by this point, a lot of stuff has already been done. And yet this level is so original on its own. I mean, we talked about those mini references to the movies, which are awesome, but nothing super obvious here, which is awesome. The originality of it really, I think, adds to what makes this game so fun. It's entirely new.
Oh yeah, I mean, again, this game is not, it's not based off of a movie like the Lego games are, and it's not based off of, you know, a comic or something like that. It's completely new on its own, and I would actually like to see this entire game turned into a movie, because that would make a hell of an Indy 6.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've always thought that this movie would have made probably a better one than Crystal Skull, just because a lot of those elements there that I like from the indie movies. And, you know, it's actually kind of interesting that we're talking about this game first, because this is actually probably isn't the most popular indie video game. Usually Fate of Atlantis or Emperor's Tomb are the ones that usually come out on top. But we wanted to start with this one because I think it does kind of go underrated and unnoticed as how good this game really does in terms of giving us that indie story. And so once you actually get that, you're basically like a maze trying to find the entrance to where you were back from the top. And so you cross through the tunnel to get to the fourth mosaic, and that dungeon door opens as you get back to the this shaft that raises you to the top of the museum as you see the fourth and final statue raise. And you actually get turned into that first mural that we saw with Yasin. That's the final one that Indy comes out of, right into the main room.
Yes, and Germans are there when he gets back up. They have gotten there and they're inspecting these statues, and somehow they don't know notice Indy just coming out in the center of the room.
Right.
Not sure how that works, but, you know, Indy, he hides behind the pillar, and then he actually gets into a nice big fist fight with these guys and basically beats the crap out of them.
Right, so we have another great fight here. I love how Indy comes out of there and no one notices. He just walks right through. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, the Germans are like, la da da da, no one's here, you know, we're fine, we got all the time we need.
Next thing you know, Indy comes out of nowhere, right? It's a huge fight. And so, you have this great fight in sort of the main sort of Istanbul Museum here. And there's actually a glory move that you can perform. I forgot what it actually is, but if you position the statues in such a way, you'll notice that their swords are now raised before they were pointing down. There's something I think you can do in which you maneuver the statue so you can kind of defeat one of the guys, which is kind of cool. So once you kind of knock some sense into these guys and knock them out for a little while, then you have basically trying to figure out what's going on here with this whole sort of room as we see Indy go down into this sort of what looks like just a black hole as he steps on the plate in the middle and just goes right down into the next area here.
Right, and we actually get back to our kind of side story here with Maggie, right? And she is kind of there, and, you know, it turns out we now find out this is Magnus Voller, and these two goons kind of want to talk about Jones with Maggie, and this is actually where we find out Maggie is not working for Jones and is actually working for someone else. We don't know who, but someone else.
Right, and so I like this as well. We have this interesting new dynamic And he's like, tell us about our common acquaintance, Indiana Jones. And he's like, I know who you are, Miss O'Maggie. I know who you work for. The question is, does Jones? And that quote was really awesome there, as obviously Jones, I love how he just trusts her in like no time, not suspicious at all, kind of like Elsa in Last Crusade. That's kind of who Maggie is, we kind of find out. That she's kind of like the Elsa of Last Crusade. And one thing I wanted to mention that I just found ironic about this, as I was watching this cutscene, I'm thinking, Indy basically has just gone through an entire museum, yet Magnus is sitting over here and has no idea what's going on, which is just hilarious. I mean, he wants to get Indy, he wants to get the Staff of Kings. Meanwhile, he's just out here talking with Maggie, while Indy is just basically searching through the entire museum, which I thought was hilarious. And also, the more we say Maggie, the more I'm getting a flashback to Ireland 1916 from Maggie from that episode. What, talk about a twist. What if that was the same Maggie years later? That would have been hilarious.
That would be weird, but it would also be hilarious. You're right.
Yeah, it would.
There would also be a much more of a romance dynamic than there is with this Maggie.
Indy the millionaire, right?
Yeah.
Exactly, which is awesome. But I like this sort of like subplot here. One other thing I noticed from this scene, I don't know why I noticed so much from this small cutscene, but I like how like his two like guards, they're both wearing sunglasses. Did you notice that? But it's like the middle of the night, right?
Exactly. You know, you can't see anything if you wear sunglasses at night, even if you're staring directly into the sun.
Right. That one I thought was hilarious. I noticed that as they had this kind of close up on both of them. But in any case, we now transition into the final sort of area that Indy goes in. And by the way, this is awesome. We get into this catacomb. Indy has this torch with a great piece of music from Young Indy, which we will talk about in that respective episode. And as you kind of explore this old dungeon, we have that reoccurring element of using the torch to kind of fight off the spiders.
Are they spiders or scorpions? I can't really tell.
I think they are spiders because we also had spiders in Panama, and so what I assume the continuity is the same here. But it definitely feels like a lot of that same sort of mechanic that we heard from, or that we saw in the last level and the ones before.
In any respect, Indy finally gets, so he gets rid of the spiders and goes into this next room, which is beautiful. It's so gorgeous with this huge kind of like pendulum bell kind of thing with these three, like, I don't know if they're hammers or what, hanging on each side of them.
Right, and so we see this, like, kind of tall sort of, like, chalice kind of thing with these three beams on the side, and you basically have to whip each one, and it has a pitch as it hits the actual chalice. And right after you hit the third one, this, like, map appears in this water, and we see that there's a mark on the Himalayas, which pinpoints the exact location of the Staff of Kings, and that's how Indy finds it. So we thought the Staff of Kings was going to be down here in Istanbul. Well, you got to go to Nepal to find that. So that's really cool. And of course, it has to fall and break through the wall as Indy leads out. And yeah, that's the last level or the last part in sort of the cave. And so we see Indy come up from the ground below, and it's Maggie is on top of the elephant, and we have this kind of fun but odd sort of ending to the level, which is this elephant chase as Indy and Maggie try to run off from the Germans as the elephant like ransacks this whole town as you just kind of bombard through the street.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very interesting. You know, Maggie's like, get on. And, you know, you think, oh, they're just going to ride off into the sunset like a classic indie adventure. No. That's not what happens in Staff of Kings. What happens is the elephant decides to crash through all the scaffolding in the city, completely destroy the town, basically.
Right.
And right as the cars get in front of them, the elephant just rams through the cars and basically destroys them.
Right, so you have this kind of, and you also have this sort of like mini shootout here as well, which is kind of interesting as you, yeah, it was kind of a weird part to the level, especially since it ends abruptly, as like you said, they crash the cars at the end, and you know, Indy's like, we're going to need something faster to get to Nepal, and yeah, that's basically the end of the level. It kind of ends on that interesting note as you have that kind of elephant chase. I'm not sure really what the thought was there in terms of like, I guess they were looking for some sort of action sequence and they decided that would be a good idea. I'm not really sure. But yeah, it was kind of odd. But yeah, kind of a nice climactic ending though to the level. And that is going to wrap up level 4, Istanbul. What do we think of this one?
You know what? I personally don't like this level all so much. I mean, you were speaking of they were looking for an action sequence at the end or a scene there. And, you know, I think that's really I mean, other than the, mini fights that they have and the shootout that they have, there's not very many action scenes. And there's also really not an indie adventure here. I mean, Indy, yeah, he has to put these skulls in some places and, get these heads, go through these doors. But he doesn't really have an indie adventure where he figures out archaeology. He's just finding some paintings and pushing them in. I mean, it's kind of boring in a way.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I'm actually going to disagree with you here. I think that this is my favorite level, actually.
How dare you? I'm just kidding.
And the reason for that is because, and this is kind of what I want to bring up, going to your point, is I really am drawn to this level, actually. This feels like Indiana Jones to me, yet, if you really think about it, this type of puzzle solving isn't really in the movies at all. And what I find interesting about this is I feel like a lot of people would play this game and think, "This isn't Indiana Jones. I don't like this." I feel like some other people, myself included, look at this game and like, "Wow, this is really the kind of indie stuff not in the movies that I really am looking for." And as you do all this puzzle solving and kind of going through these old ancient tombs and temples and civilizations, and I really like sort of the sneaky sort of exploration puzzle solving aspect of this. But like you said, it is kind of interesting as, it's not anything super archaeology heavy. It's just puzzle solving here.
Yeah, definitely. It really is. I mean, I get what you mean, how it's different, and I guess in that way it is much different than the movies where, in the movies you're a lot more archaeology. Here, it's just very simplistic, yet also complicated, I guess, at the same time.
Right. I've actually played this game before, and I still think Istanbul's my favorite, actually. I do like the other levels, though, equally. I think they're all really great. For whatever reason, though, I've just been drawn to this level, which is kind of interesting. But then again, I think when, yeah, like you said, when you look at this from kind of a perspective of the movies, it's very, very interesting in terms of how this plays out. Yeah, I think that about wraps up today's episode. If you're new to the podcast and you enjoy today's episode, consider subscribing to our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher. And as of last week, you can now find us on Amazon's brand new podcast service. You can listen with the Amazon Music app or hands-free on any Amazon Alexa product. If you want to learn more about the podcast, you can visit our website at www.theindianajonesuniverse.com. You can find all our podcast episodes listed there for your listening convenience, as well as a great links page if you want to learn more about the expanded universe of Indiana Jones. And finally, to stay up to date on news and announcements and be part of the indie community here, make sure to like us and follow us over on our Facebook page. You can find us there at the Indiana Jones Universe Podcast. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll be back soon with another episode.
Once again, I'm Max.
And I'm Will.
And until next time,
so long, Dr. Jones.